I hear the voice of my grandmother calling me. I hear the voice of my grandmother calling. Wake up, wake up, she says, wake up, listen, 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 listen. May the rivers all run free. May the mountains be unspoiled. May the air be pure, may the trees grow up tall, may the earth be shared by all. I hear the voice of my grandmother calling me. I hear the voice of my grandmother calling. Wake up, she says, wake up, listen, listen. Listen, listen, may the rivers all run free. May the mountains be unspoiled. May the air be pure, may the trees grow up tall, may the earth be shared by all. May the air be pure, may the trees grow up tall, may the earth be shared by all.
Hello and welcome to the Womb-Centered Healing Podcast. I'm Salma Morningstar and I have Marcia here with me. Thank you so much, Marcia, for joining me for the podcast today. We're going to be talking about something Marcia was sharing with me and something I have been contemplating quite a bit too, and that is how to present womb-centered healing practices, principles, and ways of life that are accessible and digestible for more families so that we can return womb-centeredness to the center of our lives instead of out here on the fringes that's inaccessible and people feel alienated by. So we were discussing this a little bit before we came on the recording. Marcia, I would love for you to introduce yourself and your work a little bit more and then share more about this topic and why it's inspiring you so much.
So I am Marcia Lopez. I am the owner of Women's True Healing. We are the premier center in the South Bay of California for holistic female reproductive wellness. I'm a clinical practitioner in holistic care of female reproductive wellness. I practice abdominal therapy, vaginal steaming, shamanic healing. I've been in clinical practice around this since 2009, and I've been a body worker since 2005. So I'm going on about 14 years of healing experience with this work. And it's been amazing thus far. And so as we were talking, when you were telling me what has been inspiring me the most, I've been doing this for a while. I'm definitely not the pioneer of this work, but I've been doing this for, you know, a good a decade almost. And what I've been seeing is that the information is still not clearly available to families. And what's inspiring me right now is really being able to bring this work in a digestible way. As I was saying to you, right now the womb healing work still seems to be on the fringes. It's not readily acceptable yet. It is still one of the most vital components of human health. It's always been a vital component of human health, but yet it still isn't completely integrated. And so my focus right now is in making this information more clearly and concisely available to families and to people, and making you know, ensuring that this work and the verbiage and the terminologies that we use in discussing this work doesn't alienate people. And it's easier to invite people into understanding the necessity of it. And not only that, make it clear into what kind of results one can expect when embarking on a womb healing lifestyle.
Wow. Beautiful. So I would love for you to share with us some of the approaches that you're exploring. Do you have any projects that you're working on or practices that you're implementing in your business that are moving in this direction of making this womb healing work more accessible, digestible, and embraceable by more families?
Definitely. Well, I started this work as a, you know, private practice, but I've recently begun training, and I've trained a few practitioners in the shamanic aspects of the work, because the shamanic perspectives and the spiritual perspectives of uterine health are foundational. And the reason being because I'm looking at this perspective, at womb healing perspective, in that we all came from the womb. Every single person gestated in the womb, we all received our blood from the womb, from the person holding the womb, our mother. All of those truths are undeniable. So there's some certain shamanic protocols and just a shamanic approach that I have to this work. And so that's, I started the initial training around that. And now I'm having some apprentices kind of come on board to help in managing and taking care of the clients. Because honestly, it's big work. You know, and there's so many people that are a part of it, which is amazing and it's wonderful. But what I have noticed is that in spite of the fact that I am knee deep in this work, that a lot of my clients, I haven't actually been able to properly transfer this information to my clients, even though I'm doing this. Sometimes when they get pregnant and after their when it comes to their postpartum care, it's like the information is lacking. And I feel like, okay, even though we've talked about it during our sessions, it still wasn't able to carry over into the after sessions, after they gave birth. And mostly it's because my clients are also seeking out this work almost in a fringe way. Like their families aren't necessarily on board with what they're doing, or they're just thinking, okay, this is going to make her feel better, so, you know, I'll support that. But the families don't actually know how important this work is for the family itself. And so even though my clients also have the help of doulas and the help of midwives and the help of chiropractors, and they have access to online information, and, you know, they also follow Instagram people, when it comes down to it, the support that they needed around their womb healing still wasn't there. And mostly I feel it's because the families weren't involved. You know, my clients were definitely sold on the work, but when it came time for them to take care of themselves or needing to be taken care of, they weren't being taken care of necessarily by people who believed in the foundational aspect of womb healing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I wanted to back up a little bit, because you spoke at the beginning of what you were of this segment that about the foundational quality of the shamanic aspect of womb healing work, and you talked about how we all came from a womb and we were all birthed from a womb, and that how does that make, well, first of all, what are you calling the shamanic aspect? Can you define that? Because there's a lot of different understandings of what shamanic means, and so what is shamanic womb healing work, and how does that fact, that undeniable fact that we all came from a womb, and this shamanic work, how is that undeniable and inseparable and foundational?
Definitely. So essentially the blood that human beings patients have is the blood that came through the uterus. And this blood wasn't able to be created unless our mothers were eating, drinking water, and breathing in air. So in this very basic way, we're connected to the earth. We are carrying the wisdom and information of plant medicine and animal medicine through food, water medicine, and air medicine. And in this way, we are integrally connected to the planet and to earth itself. The second aspect of it is that this blood came from our mothers, came from our grandmothers, our foregrandmothers, etc., all the way back to the beginnings of humanity. And in essence, the blood that is available right now on the earth is the human blood, is the same human blood that began with people. How I connect this is not new. Dr. Bruce Lipton, he's a neuroscientist, neurophysician. He has a lot of this information about the passing or the creating of the subconscious mind because of the blood. So what we also get is the neurochemicals from our mothers, the hormones. So the way the female body, so the way the birthing body reacts to the environment is going to be coded in the blood via the neurochemicals, along with the genetic codings of the DNA and the resonance of the planet via the animals and the plants that we're eating and the water we're drinking and the air we're breathing. So in this way it's shamanic. In this way it's undeniable, because shamanism essentially for me is just a connection to the earth and basing our livelihood on our relationship with the planet. So that's how I view shamanic wisdom and shamanic healing, is because we're using this planetary relationship that we have to allow ourselves to consider and ultimately achieve optimal human wellness in relationship with the planet. But the mechanisms of the blood, we are also connected to our ancestral wisdom as well. And in this way, it's also shamanic, because it's a knowledge of our ancestors and the ways of our ancestors and how they survived and how they sustained that also gives us the information and template on our relationship with life, with planet, and with cosmos and with existence.
And I love how you're sharing about this, because when people hear the word shamanic, they may be thinking about some ethereal, non-corporeal experience, imaginary experience that people have when they do shamanic journeys and things like that. But when you describe it like that, we're really working with the physical building blocks of our existence. We're working with plants, animals, blood, breath, right? And we're working with this very physical lineage back through the generations of inheritance that we've received in the form of our physical DNA, and how our neurotransmitter patterns have been programmed to affect that DNA and vice versa because of this ancestral lineage of inheritance that we've received. All of these are very physical things. And so I'm extrapolating a little bit as a shamanic practitioner myself to sort of fill in about it too and reflect on it, is that, you know, we might do, and you know, I wonder if your experience is similar, we might do we do meditation practices where we access that subconscious mind that's built by the blood, right? That's influenced by all of these very physical influences, the elements, the earth, the ancestral, the DNA. All of that is then part of that intelligence of the subconscious mind. And we use these meditations to access that intelligence and gain wisdom and guidance from these very physical elemental foundations of life to guide us towards the natural inclination of all of life, which is towards wellness, if we assume that. Yes?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so, so essentially the work is to make this a common place understanding, an irrefutable understanding of human existence, right? Because it is irrefutable. How do we create blood? How is blood created? Let's really think about it. It's not just, okay, blood is created in the bone marrow. Okay, but what does the body need in order to make blood? And we need food, and we need water, and we need to be able to breathe. You know, blood carries our oxygen. And then the makeup of blood, the way we receive blood, we receive it through a female body. This is information that it cannot be refuted. And it should be commonplace, very common sense information. And if this is to become common sense information, how do we build society? How do we take care of society when we finally accept a logical, irrefutable bit of information about ourselves, right?
Well, how do we transform, really? This question seems to me to be, how do we transform a society that is somehow operating under a different conception of society that's excluding these foundational, irrefutable truths, right? That's like somehow sidestepped them, saying, oh, you know, and all the effort and the warring and the domination required to sustain something off to the side of this irrefutable truth, right, is so much effort that we're wearing ourselves out, right? I mean, we're getting ready to expire as a species if we keep it up, right? So it's like a returning home that we're talking about, an invitation to return home to this irrefutable truth of here we are in these physical bodies, receiving blood from our mothers to build ourselves, and receiving everything that our mothers, mothers, and mothers, and mothers' mothers have experienced, and with the support of our fathers. And so returning this awareness to the center of family life sounds to me what you're talking about. How do we return this awareness and this priority of caring for and nurturing this generator of life that every woman has in her womb, right? How do we return that to the central priority of the family?
Exactly. And then, you know, I have a background in philosophy, so it's really easy for me to go there and to get philosophical about that. Our society is essentially built on the complete disregard of this truth. There is an amazing book called Women in Nature, The Roaring Inside Her by Susan Griffiths. I don't know if you've ever read that book.
No, but it's going on my list.
It's a must read. It is basically a juxtaposition of the rise of industry and the exploitation of the earth along with the suppression of the feminine. So the rise of industry is built on this disregard, because industrialization is a mechanism of commerce. It's a mechanism of economy. An economy is essentially an abstract concept. It's not, there's a scientist from Canada, I think he is of Japanese heritage, but he talks about economy being an unfounded science because it's not based on environment. It's based on abstract concepts of money. But industrialization is essentially the foundation of economy, because industrialization is built on the labor force and on the warring force as well. And that is essentially built on the backs of humans. It's essential that humans are part of, you know, the working components of this. So industrialization, in a sense, has disregarded the needs of the family, because if it were to do so, then our societies would be built on family, not on industry. which is the only way we can even begin to catch true authentic glimpses of what optimal human health would be, is if we actually start to center our society on the family unit. Everyone knows at this point that most of our neuroses, most of our attachment patterns, any kind of issue we have in adult life happened as a child, our inner child wounding, etc. What happens when we become womb-centered is that, for me at least, what I have come to understand is that I, with this work, should at least be able to ensure that people who are birthing babies understand how to take care of themselves once that child is born. And so we're looking at the future right now. Is there a possibility to change present day? Yes, it is possible. It's going to take a magnanimous effort, because what I see happening is that as individuals, we have been failing to take on the responsibility that we need to take on for society. We're adults. So we're adults, and we're conscious adults, and we're shamanic practitioners, and we're healers, and we have this great awareness of consciousness, but have we actually been able to bring that awareness in a simplified form to help our fellow brothers and sisters who have no concept of yoga, who had no concept of burning sage, who have no concept of Sanskrit words, you know, who have no concept of what spirituality is, but they only know that they are hurting. They only know that they are lacking the ability to take care of themselves. They only know that they're giving the responsibility of their care to government, to medical industries, to schools, to school structures. How do we give this information to them in a way that doesn't scare them, in a way that soothes them, in a way that they can count on it, you know? And essentially, you know, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work to deal right now with present day situations, to deal with the past and to deal with present day situations. So we also have to ensure that this future generation that's coming forth, that their parents, that their family units have the information they need to take care of themselves. Mm-hmm. And it starts with the womb healing, because that's where the baby came from. You know, and it starts with the parents being responsible for this understanding of what consciousness is, because when we keep going back to the shamanic perspectives of it, in womb healing, as how I learned it initially, it came from the Mayan understanding. It came from a book called Sastun. And so with Sastun, they talked about that the womb is the cosmic portal of this existence. So the womb is like the stargate. We all came through the uterus. So if all members in the family are on board with that truth, then then finally we're able to really begin to change things. And we really have to start looking to the future, and we really have to start looking to being able to provide future families and these becoming families the ability to understand these concepts in a way that is safe, and that it's easy, and that it's non-contradictory to their already held religious beliefs.
Beautiful. So what have you explored? I would love to hear about practical ways that you are working with families right now, and how are you bringing this into action.
So I do postpartum with my clients who get pregnant. I do postpartum wellness. So the postpartum visits, just essentially, we do the womb healing, we do steaming, we do hip binding, we talk about foods. And so right now I've basically still been pretty grassroots about it, just really talking to families. And then when I get into the homes, there's usually, well, usually I try to prep my clients, right? We talk about their postpartum team. We talk about their culture, their background, and I encourage them to explore their ancestral ways of postpartum healing, to start asking, you know, their mothers, their grandmothers, their partners, grandmothers and mothers. And when I get to these homes, usually I treat the client, but I really, really enjoy the dialogue that will happen with whoever is there. You know, so if the partner is there or if the mother is there, then we get to talk about this. And all these really rich and beautiful stories start to come out. Like, oh, my grandmother used to use this herb, or this is a food she ate when she was pregnant. So essentially that, you know, that is the basis of my work. And that is the basis of why I opened the center, Women's True Healing, was so I can be able to have a space completely dedicated to this work. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, with right now, it's basically been clients and one-on-one. When people ask me to do podcasts, I usually always agree. Running a center, having a client load doesn't give you much time to put out information through social media and things like that. So as I'm getting more really wonderful practitioners on board, the goal is that as a collaboration, as a collective, we're going to be able to provide more information in a way that is that, you know, in a way that it's like, okay, this makes sense. This works with what my doctor is telling me. This also works with what my own mother has told me, or my own grandmother has told me. So we basically just want to just be here, be a center for it. And we're like, we're a center for this work because it's necessary. We're being about it, and just really keep, just essentially right now is just continuing to give out the information, continuing to collaborate. And what I'm needing to do at this point is to do more writing and more information online and more community classes. Mm-hmm. But that's what I've been doing for, you know, aside from the, you know, the writing and the community classes, mostly just holding down the practice and just talking with people.
So I'm really curious about this. You know, it sounds like you're going to families' homes after you've had a pregnant mother come to you and say, I want your support for postpartum care. And are you telling any stories, or are you educating them, or are you more evoking their own stories, or is it a combination of both? And then, yeah.
A combination of both. The postpartum care time is really important. So there's a lot of great books right now. There's a really beautiful, wonderful resurgence of postpartum healing. Mm-hmm. So, The First 40 Days is an amazing book. There's a book called The Golden Month. There's a book called Seven Times a Woman that talks about the traditional Chinese medicine ways of postpartum healing. There's a book called The Fourth Trimester by Kimberly Johnson, who had the podcast Maga Mamas that you had mentioned, mm-hmm. that you might have heard me on.
Yes.
I'm giving them a lot of information. But, you know, what I'm seeing is that, you know, my clients will tend to get overwhelmed, mm-hmm. because they are essentially the only container for this information. And it's essentially like the family needs to be the container for the information, yeah. mm-hmm. you know? And even with us, you know, it's like we came to this work. I'm not sure how you came to the work, Sama, but, you know, in a lot of ways, it's like we come to this work because we didn't have this information in our families. Mm-hmm. And so we had to become these great vessels, these channelers of energy. We had to become shamanic practitioners in order for us to be able to hold the scope of this work, the breadth of this work, right? When in actuality, the scope and the breadth of this work needed to be held within the family, but we did not have that. And I know certainly that I did not have that. And that's why I've come on this path. But the truth is that this work needs to be held by community, not just by one person. So when my clients are coming, it's almost like they're the only ones getting the information and they need help to hold it. Mm-hmm. But what, you know, you also see at times is that there's a backlash by their own families, or there's a backlash by the partner. And even if they weren't pregnant, even those of us who have embarked on these womb, these spiritual shamanic womb healing journeys that are physical in nature as well, not all of us have been supported. You know, there's because we're still dealing with the effects of patriarchy. We're still dealing with the effects of an inherent misogyny where it's like, oh, we're seeing a woman rise up. We're going to be jealous about that. Or, you know, like a woman becomes pregnant and decides to take these 40 days for herself, her postpartum care. Maybe members of her own family might backlash against that. I didn't have that. I was washing dishes at 4 days after I gave birth. Oh, my grandmother had 10 babies and she was able to, like, you know, still work on the farm. And you hear that. That's not like an outlandish statement. You're hearing this constantly. Mm-hmm. So that is essentially what I'm looking at, you know, because when I first started this work, it was amazing. I was, you know, doing tantra. I was meditating. I was like trying to understand my kundalini. I was looking at herbs and doing my yoni steaming. And I had a lot of beautiful experiences, and it helped a lot of women have beautiful experiences. But now, you know, that I'm coming to a different part of my life, and I'm looking at my career and I'm looking at my work, and I'm realizing, okay, this actually, how do we get this to expand within the families? How do we get this to expand in doctor's office? How do we get doctors to say, yes, you need this? So I don't know. I don't know the step-by-step. I don't know how that's going to happen, but I do know that that's kind of where I'm leaning towards now. That is definitely what I'm feeling like. Okay.
Beautiful.
You know, it's like, we can't, it's still fringe.
Yeah. So I wonder, I would love to hear if you've had any moments where you realize that some information that you were sharing with a family member of a postpartum mom and baby, for example, was getting through to them, where you could see it dawning on them, the importance of what was going on, where there was actually a shift where they began to pick up the part that it was theirs to hold. Have you felt any moments in your work in the families of that expansion of this holding container for this information?
Not enough.
Have you had any one? Have you had one little tiny one maybe?
I mean, I think once I'm invited into the family, there's definitely that acceptance, you know? So definitely fathers, you know, there was one father who I did that treatment. I did the postpartum treatment with on the mom, and he was like, oh my gosh, my grandmother was telling me all about this and that she needed to be massaged. So of course, you know, she needs to be taken care of. You know, I think once people are hiring postpartum care doulas, people are actually requiring or bringing in acupuncturists or any kind of health professional to help take care of them in the postpartum way, then that's usually the opening. Usually everybody is technically on board. Mm-hmm. Have I seen, you know, but the thing is, Sama, is that the responsibility of postpartum care actually needs to be on the family, not on the practitioner. So I haven't seen that so much yet, you know, where the family, you know, the husband or maybe the mother is like, can I see you take care of her so I can learn? I haven't seen that just yet. And so that is a priority. That is a priority to ensuring that the responsibility of this care is with the family.
So there's a lot of different styles of birth preparation education that often include birth partners. right? Mm-hmm. And maybe some could include other family members as well. I think that it would be helpful if, say, the mother of the, you know, the grandma, the mother of the mom of the baby, right? And the other extended family members also had some education about preparing for the birth process, if they want to be involved in the birth process, to have some sense. You know, I could see that as an expansion for the birth preparation. I haven't seen as much. I'm seeing that there could be a real postpartum family training, and it sounds like maybe this might be on your list of things to develop, is, you know, some community classes like that, where it's something that they go to even before the birth happens, to start to prepare not only for the birth itself, but for the time afterwards in a more intensive and you know, responsibility building way for them, for the family members.
Exactly. So I do have a teacher, her name is Rachel Segalia, and her company is Innate Traditions. And she is one of the pioneers in actually doing, putting on community classes to train families. So that is part of this year's agenda for sure, is to keep bringing out her work and to incorporate that into the work that's happening here, mm-hmm. for sure. And, you know, there's a lot, like Kimberly Johnson herself is also doing that movement with postpartum, bringing up, you know, postpartum care a lot, you know, with her book, The Fourth Trimester. But yes, with Innate Traditions, she does have a community class available, which we will be offering through the center this year, for sure.
And yeah. That is a postpartum preparation class that happens
for
families. And it might happen, they might come to that class before the birth even occurs, or possibly even after the birth occurs, to say, what are we doing now?
Exactly.
Uh-huh. Beautiful. Oh, that makes me so happy. That makes me so happy to know that that's happening. That's beautiful. And, you know, a question that comes up for me, and or it's just a reflection, really, that, I mean, I can see this is an issue across the board as far as socioeconomical communities of all different cultural, you know, ethnicities and everything. Everyone is suffering from this, from not having this connection, from being sitting to the side of our foundations, right? So
many of us.
I mean, I work as a massage therapist at a high-end spa in the Napa County, and I do, you know, pregnancy massage and I massage a lot of moms, whether they've just had a baby or it's been 6 months or, you know, their kids are all grown. And most of them, when I ask them, what kind of postpartum care did you have? Huh?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the health issues that arise out of that, the diminishment in women's health and what they have to offer their families, the diminishment of that because of this lack of postpartum care is huge, is a huge cost to society in all areas of society, and all so we're preaching, you know, to the choir now.
you're on it, like, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And I think all we need to start doing at least is talking about it, because, you know, we were talking about all, you know, earlier we were talking about yoga and we're talking about Shakti and we've talked about Tantra a little bit, and all of these are amazing concepts, and they're fantastic and they're wonderful explorations. But the truth is those of us who have woken up, those of us who have ignited our Shakti, those of us who have understood all these things, can we start channeling our energy to actually start making effective social changes? Because so many times these people who have babies, they don't have monetary support. They don't have the support of the city, of the state to say, you get to have paternity leave. You get to have maternity leave. Your partner gets to stay there with you. We're going to subsidize your doula care. You know, like those are the changes that would be really amazing to start, like, you know, combining our shakti on, right? Mm-hmm. Like, can we actually start making effective political changes here? Because you know exactly what I'm talking about. You're taking care of these women, and then, you know, they come to, then afterwards you're like, oh, you didn't get your postpartum care. And it's like, it's kind of heartbreaking.
And, you know, I mean, I can understand the scenario of the family that you described where, you know, these are hardworking families in the lower echelons of financial, you know, wellness, and those women have got to get back to work as quickly as possible, and their partner's not staying home with them either. And, you know, these women that I'm taking care of in this high-end spa are spending thousands of dollars a night on their room for their, you know, vacation, you know.
Getting the postpartum care.
What's that? And they didn't get postpartum care. Exactly. They didn't get postpartum care there, you know, because that information is not there. And so it's across the board. And, you know, I've been considering starting a nonprofit organization to subsidize doula care, say, for low-income people in my community. But I've got to convince people that that's necessary first.
So you're right on board with me.
I know. That's why I'm interviewing you. I knew we would be right on board, you know? So it's like, because, you know, when you first start, I sat down and consulted with a nonprofit organization who would be an umbrella organization for this program. And they said, okay, you first have to, you know, first step is to do a survey in the community and see if this service that you want to offer is something that they would even want.
And they don't even know.
They don't even know
how important it is. And see, like our postpartum care, you know, like we have to start asking ourselves these questions, like how was your mom taking care of postpartum? How was my mom taking care of postpartum? You know, how was, you know, the father involved? How was your dad involved? How was my dad involved? You know, because postpartum care with the, you know, with Rachel Segalia's work, postpartum care mitigates so many things, mitigates so many health issues. It can mitigate postpartum depression. It can mitigate attachment issues. It can bolster so much positive health, you know, benefits. Mm-hmm. When a woman and the child and the family and the father and whoever is on board, like they're all getting the postpartum care that they need. Mm-hmm. You know, we help avoid health issues and health crises. Mm-hmm. And especially, you know, mental health issues for the mom, for the woman.
Mm-hmm. And a long-term health issues too. I mean, when you said, you know, what kind of postpartum care did your mother have? Did your grandmother have? Did your great-grandmother have? Or, and her mother before that? If the answer is zero, none, zero, they had to get up and start working again right away, then pretty soon when you get down the generations, four or five generations down, the baby, we're starting out with adrenal fatigue. We're starting out with proclivities to autoimmune disease. We're starting out with, you know, genetic exhaustion that we just can't keep producing this without the proper nourishment. Our blood is deficient. Mm-hmm. We're exhausted already from the moment of birth, you know? Yeah. And so no wonder, you know, we have all of these mysterious illnesses, a lot of women have these mysterious illnesses that come from this lack of care for our basic needs as the generators of life, right?
Exactly. And you keep going back, you know, and most of the reasons why postpartum care wasn't there you know, it starts to get political, because most of the reasons why the generations behind us didn't have postpartum care will be due, in fact, to the issues of colonization, the issues of slavery, the issues of economic displacement by imperialistic forces. We start to really see like what has happened. You know, so many of the generations behind us weren't able to have postpartum care because they were feeling quite acutely these effects of colonization, imperialization, slavery, concentration camps, etc. You know, so we're really moving. I feel like womb healing, right? Womb healing is really moving towards honing in on, okay, let's take care of the birth, of the postpartum period. In my practice, there's two reasons that are the primary reasons where women are having reproductive health dysfunction. Trauma, and they didn't get adequate postpartum care. Those are the two biggest reasons that are coming up. I mean, of course, there's always going to be genetic issues, autoimmune issues, et cetera. But what I have had to hone my skills in, what I had to specialize in, is in the trauma recovery aspect, and is in also giving adequate postpartum care, or addressing postpartum issues that are decades old. You know, so, okay, yeah. So you didn't have adequate postpartum care, so we're actually going to have to redo your postpartum care in order to help this issue of your bladder prolapse, in order to help this issue of, you know, your menstrual irregularities or your heightened menopausal symptoms that shouldn't be there. Because we actually have to go back and kind of help redo that postpartum healing that you didn't get.
Uh-huh. And so, when you do something like that, because this is an issue, I mean, I get these women who come in 10 years later after having three kids, you know, and I can feel it in their bodies. Their hips never came back together quite right. Their organs aren't quite back in the right place yet. And I'm wanting them to go check into one of these residential postpartum care facilities now, 10 years after all their babies are gone, you know? So do you do that, or do you do more of like a shamanic journey, or do you actually do the physical hip tying and all of that with these women?
We do that.
Yeah.
We do the steaming, we do the massage, you know, we're checking organ placement. We're doing the hip binding. I have an extensive referral network. So if they need internal pelvic floor work, I'm referring them to physical therapists or somatic therapists, you know, yoga. We're engaging Mula Bandha very detailed, very adequately. It's all still physical. Mm-hmm. We got to go into the physicalities of it. Mm-hmm. And then also the spiritualities of it as well, is actually having them go in and getting a connection with their uterus, because that's foundational. Mm-hmm. And even if their uterus was removed, or any of those issues, it's like getting into connection with that energy component. Mm-hmm. Because it's another well of intelligence that we get. So we have our gut information, our gut instinct, we have our heart telling us things, we have our third eye giving us intuition, but we're missing tapping into what our uterus is telling us. So I gotta get them aligned with their uterus, gut, heart, there you go, chakras aligned. And for men, it's the reverse, you know, they have to be in touch with their prostate wisdom. How does our prostate feel? Are they lifting their prostate? You know, it's like, are they happy in their prostate? So with women, it's the same thing. We're going back to the basics. It's physical and it's spiritual at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And there's a whole emotional aspect of all of that. I mean, the womb is right there. It really is our wombs are our emotional, relational communication and transmission organ. And so I'd love to hear your reflections on that as mothers, but also as relational beings. Definitely as mothers, we are transmitting what emotions are about and how to feel and process emotions through our wombs to our babies, right? And if we are disorganized or disordered in that, then we're transmitting that to the babies. Right?
Well, I see Venus as having the same resonance as the center of the galaxy. So in the way that the heart resonates with the planet on the same frequency, on the same hertz, you know, according to the Heart Math Institute, I do believe that the uterus is resonating with the black hole of the Milky Way galaxy. And so because of that resonance, we are able to tap into these deep, deep, deep primordial cosmic wisdom, cosmic, you know, understanding when we have that space to do so, you know. And this is something that we can do whether or not we have children. So many of us don't have children. I don't have children at the moment. But that ability to tap into the resonance of what the womb is available to anybody. And if you have a prostate, what I see the prostate as is more along the lines of a toroidal field. If you've seen, you know, the image of the toroidal field, it's like the donut. And the prostate is like a donut. And so men can also be able to begin to understand their own energetic connections and relationships with the cosmos when they understand the prostate themselves. Mm-hmm. But with women and with the womb, I really find that it's a resonance with this astral connection. Mm-hmm. And whenever I've connected women with the womb, it's so funny because we think the womb is going to give us this far out wisdom and information, which it can. But a lot of times womb wisdom is very practical. It's like, oh, you're having all these issues. You know what? You really need to clean out your closet because you're avoiding your clutter. Or, okay, yeah, I hear you with all these things that you're doing. And the womb's like, you haven't drank water. You really need to drink more water, you know? And it happens a lot in my sessions with clients. It's like, she kind of told me this. Like, yeah, the uterus is very practical. Mm-hmm. She's kind of a very practical, no-nonsense organ. Mm-hmm. That is receiving this deep wisdom of clean your room, eat your veggies, drink your water kind of wisdom.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, you know, and it's so true. I've gotten all kinds of wisdom like that I can see is just coming from the womb.
Yeah.
Just so clear. If we remember how to listen.
Exactly. So essentially that is my next, that's really, I think what I'm really, where I'm seeing the most importance is in actually getting this work and this information to be more commonplace, because it's heady, it's big, but it needs to be held by the family, not just by that one lone female in the family who's out there doing her womb healing work and clearing up all this ancestral karma. You know, it's time now for the families to start holding this wisdom. So that's really, I think, where I see womb healing going, is to have like a bigger, like have more people holding this work and not just an individual within the family.
Yeah. Well, we will hold that in our to receive practical womb wisdom about how to go about that.
Yeah. I mean, well, for sure, it seems like you're doing that work too, like with your vision of the nonprofit. Once that you know, comes or begins to gain momentum, I'd love to help out in any way if you have any questions or how you see that work unfolding for you, because that's big work. And again, you know, I really feel like that's something that our governments, our city governments and our state governments and our federal governments should be providing for us. You know, we shouldn't have to do this, but if you're doing it, may the federal grants be abundant.
Yes, thank you. I'm inspired by quite a number of nonprofit organizations I've discovered who are providing doula and midwifery services to women in prisons and women in a variety of different communities that don't have access to those
services. And
imagine Sama, postpartum care in prisons.
Oh yeah.
Imagine a 40-day care. Imagine that. Okay, we are so, we're so in it, this womb healing, that, you know, female prisoners will also get postpartum care after they've given birth. Mm-hmm.
I'd even go so far as to say, is if you're pregnant, you don't stay in prison.
Thank you for correcting me.
I didn't mean to correct you. I'm just saying, let's take it a step further, you know.
Exactly.
They don't belong in prison. They belong in a special facility to take care of them while they give birth.
Yeah.
Oh, if we're not going to keep repeating, you know, whatever they did to land them in prison, if we keep them in prison while they give birth to their baby, we're just basically guaranteeing that that baby's going to repeat whatever, you know, challenging circumstances led that mother to end up in prison. So let's help them out of that. So
exactly. So like, let this womb healing really fuel this next part, this the big part of the work that we have to do here.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, beautiful. It's been a lovely conversation with you, Marcia. Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. And do you have a website or a place that people can connect with you if they want to find out more about your work?
Oh, definitely. www.womenstruehealing.com. We're on Instagram, we're on Facebook. Womenstruehealing@gmail.com is the email that they can reply back to me.
Beautiful. Great. And if you're interested in learning more about the Womb-Centered Healing Temple, which is the sponsor of this podcast, you can go to wombcenteredhealing.com and sign up for the newsletter there as well, and you'll get information about this and future podcasts there. All right. Thank you so much once again, and beautiful talking with you today, and until next time.
Perfect.